Hello out there and welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. Have you ever found yourself in a dark place because of your transition out of the service or felt helpless when you saw this happen to a loved one? We're continuing our discussion today about how to reduce the stigma of suicide and the tools to help prevent this national tragedy for our veterans and families. It's information that can help all of us, veterans, veterans' families, active duty, military, and civilians. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors past and present, and your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Now before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback with additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield, FPP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FPP Vision, and USAA. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I say it every week, so I'm not going to stop now. We love them too. Our discussion today centers around the stigma associated with suicide and what we can do to help bring awareness to this national tragedy facing our veterans and families. I'm excited to introduce Tiffany Benjamin, Chief Executive Officer of the Humana Foundation, an organization devoted to health equity, making good health achievable for all, and the founding member of the National Face to Fight campaign to help reduce the stigma of suicide. Tiffany, thanks for joining us today and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you here.
I feel like a celebrity. It's
well, you are crazy. A celebrity. That's what I'm talking about. You know, we have a lot to talk about today. But before we do that, would you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, so I was raised in Indiana by a single mom who was a telephone operator back when that was a job that people had with the switchboard. And then she went back to school to be a social worker. And so she was a single mom. So she took me with her to everything when she did her clinics, when she was serving HIV AIDS patients. And so I was built in a mindset of service. So I went to Indiana University and I studied journalism. And then I went on to become a lawyer. And I was a practicing lawyer for quite a while, and then I became the head of the Eli Lilly and Company Foundation. A few years ago, I joined Humana as the head of the Humana Foundation, where we focus on health equity and serving the needs of people across the United States, but with a specific emphasis on folks in the South. And so I'm just so thrilled to be here today to talk about these issues, but I really love that I get to spend my days thinking about how we can invest in community and make a difference, thinking about issues of health, in particular mental health and healthcare for people all across the country.
Well, I tell you what, you have a big job right there and a lot of responsibility. So I would just start out by saying thank you for what you're doing. I'm sure it's making a difference. Tiffany, what is the mission of Humana Foundation? And could you tell me, what's the top three priorities for Humana?
Yeah, so I start everything I do with listening to community. Yeah. And so what I say is that our mission is really to serve other people. We are lucky because we are an organization that funds nonprofits. But frankly, what we do is support people in community. And if I don't listen first, I won't know what the needs of community are, right? Like I can say, I have this need and this thing I think is important in Miami, Florida, but I don't live in Miami, Florida, right? Like I'm not the population I'm serving. So everything we do is really centered in community listening and making sure that we're serving community and listening to people and following their values. So we do that through our focus on health equity, which means we have two buckets we focus on, which are mental health and nutrition and food security. And we focus on three populations: veterans, older adults, and school-aged kids. Veterans, obviously, one of the reasons we're here today. But we're just really excited about investing in people, investing in listening, investing in how we can serve others in a way where people feel like they've been impacted and not just that we feel like we're impacting them.
Yeah, you know, I always tell people if they don't trust you, they're not going to believe in you. And the other thing I think, you said a lot of really good things, but the other thing is really important too is how you communicate that message and just what you just said, how I listen to what they're saying. Because a lot of people listen, but they don't do anything about it. And they need to make sure they see your actions. You know, I'm going to tell you I got a problem, but if you don't do anything about it, why should I even tell you? You know, you're sort of wasting my time. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And you have to be authentic and patient and understand that your viewpoint is not the only viewpoint, right? Like lots of people have different lived experiences and every single one is valuable.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you're right on target, especially I can think of a lot of instances right there. You know, Humana talks a lot about health equity. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that too, about health equity?
Yeah. So what we really think about is the fact that everybody deserves access to quality health and healthcare. So it doesn't matter where you live, what you look like, your gender, whether you're in a rural or urban area, you deserve access to health, right? You deserve to make sure that if you have a mental health service, for example, that you need, you can get access to it. You need to ensure that you have access to healthy foods, no matter what age you are or where you live. So our focus on health equity is just making sure that everybody has a shot. Like I like to think of it as a journey to allowing everybody to have a piece of this American dream based on what their lived experience is.
Yeah. You know, when I was in the military, I worked at last job I had in the military, I worked as a Sergeant Major in the Army. So I traveled a lot because I used to tell people, how do I know what the Army's doing or what the military's doing unless I get out and sort of get on the ground and talk to people? It sounds to me that you travel a lot. Do you get out a lot and travel to the communities and talk to a lot of different people? I guess we used to call them at town hall meetings. I guess you probably do something around the same thing, don't you?
Yeah, I try a lot. You know, last week I was probably at 3 to 4 different places in the community where I live, Louisville, Kentucky. And I think it's really important to go out and understand the work that's being done in the community and understand the needs of the population, because what things look like on paper is not always the reality of what's really happening. So I spend a lot of time out visiting nonprofits. I make sure that I talk to the people who run those organizations, but also I make sure I talk to the people who receive those services, right? So last week I was at a rehabilitation clinic. I was at a food bank and a couple of other places, because I spend my time trying to understand what is someone else's experience? What do they need? How can we support that? What are we doing right and what are we doing wrong? I never operate from the perspective that I know what I'm talking about, right? I always operate from the fact that I can learn something from somebody and that we should constantly be getting better by listening to people impacted by whatever challenges they're facing.
Yeah. People used to always try to lead me around. You know what I mean? You always had an escort. Yeah, I'm sure they do it for you too. Do they lead you around? You try to disengage, hey, you guys go eat over there. I'm going to eat right here and sit down or whatever. Do you try to do that?
My secret is I always show up a little bit early.
That's a good one.
Exactly. And I get an opportunity to talk to people. For example, the other day I was talking to some kids in a lobby to ask them what did they like about the place that they were at and what were they doing? And they were telling me about a field trip. So I get the opportunity to kind of talk to the people who are there. And then I always make sure I stop and talk to people doing the work. So I let myself be led. But the other thing is I also really care deeply about the people who are in the place. And so I try to slow down and speak to everybody because everybody has something important to share.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm sort of leadable, but not completely leadable.
Well, the other thing is I never tell people, I used to go to a place and not tell them who I was. I say, my name is Jack. How you doing?
Exactly.
I just started talking. And if they don't know who you are, they're going to say a lot more. They're going to open up a little bit more. If you say, here's my job, I'm the president of Humana and all, they're probably not going to say too much. So I'm sure that you do something like that too. Don't really tell them who you are and what you're doing. You just say, hey, I'm Tiffany.
100%. I think last year I went to a town hall.
I'm sort of sneaky now.
Yeah, I'll sneak in all the time. I was sitting in the back of the town hall and I was talking to this young man who helps youth in violence prevention. And I was like, can I just come out and see your work? You sound really interesting. I'm Tiffany. And he said, sure. And at the end, I handed him my card and he handed me his. And he was like, oh, I might need to talk to my boss. And I was like, nope, you already agreed.
Yeah.
I'll be out there. And I was.
So. Yeah, that's great. Hey, Tiffany, we're going to continue this discussion a minute. But first, we need to take a short break and I'll be right back. I know you're not going to go anywhere. So wait right there. I'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack Iltilly, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, please like us, click on that subscribe button below. And be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after this word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Tiffany Benjamin, Chief Executive Officer of the Humana Foundation. Tiffany, the Humana Foundation, I understand now, just celebrated 41 years. And during that time, the focus on the foundation changed. Earlier, you said that the main focus was health equity and serving a specific population. Would you elaborate just a little bit more on that?
Yeah, I feel honored to carry on 41 years of history. And the Humana Foundation has a long history of really serving people. In fact, we helped to set up the healthcare system in Romania when President Bush at the time called David Jones, who was the head of the company, and said, "I just need help." So we are the kind of people who pitch in and help. And I get to carry that legacy in the work we do. And so for us, our health equity focus really distills down to a couple of things. I touched on a little bit before, but first we focus on mental health. Within that, we think about issues like senior social isolation, loneliness, trauma, equity and mental health services. That includes substance use disorder prevention, includes suicide prevention, and a lot of things around loneliness and aloneness. And then we also focus on food insecurity and nutrition. So for example, in particular, as it relates to seniors, we think about food insecurity, but we think about the intersections between chronic conditions and nutrition. And we also think about nutrition education. And we do that work for three populations: veterans, seniors, and school-aged kids. And we kind of came to that because we wanted to focus on veterans and seniors. They made sense because they go with the Humana brand and it's things we're focused on. But we felt like if you're going to start talking about mental health, if you're going to start talking about nutrition, it's hard to start talking about it when someone is in their 20s or 50s, right? You have to start early. And so we really have a sort of thinking that we're going to start young and keep talking to people about these topics and try to work really hard to invest in communities at these levels.
Do you try to put the three together, you know, the veterans, the kids? I mean, because it seems to me that they can help each other out.
Absolutely. So intergenerational work is really, really important. The other day, I was just at a center that actually supports the disabled community, but it also has a child care center and it supports seniors with a senior daycare center. And so we really like finding things where you have that intersection. So we have funded a mentoring and tutoring program that puts seniors together with young kids to invest in those relationships. We looked at food insecurity, topics that really tie young people and older adults together. We've thought about mental health work as it relates to young adults and to veterans. And so you see this overlap, but also we have a lot of families in houses who are living with several different generations in the same house. So when, you know, you might have the child, a parent, and a grandparent in the same home. And so when we see that, we try to work it all together and try to find things that invest in that whole family.
Yeah. I want to say something. My wife always says this. My wife always says this to me. She says, never judge people by how they look, or you know, if they're down on their luck or whatever. And I think a lot of times we have a tendency to misjudge people just because they're struggling a little bit. The other thing is you only have about I always just say about 10 or 15 seconds to make an impact on somebody when you're talking to them. So take the most out of that 10 or 15 seconds. You know, listen to them. I mean, engage them. Don't look around at what you're doing. Look them right in the eye and listen and really try to understand exactly what their concerns are. So again, going back to what I said a few minutes ago, they know that you really truly care and they trust what you're telling them. And I think that's certainly important.
Yeah. And I think everybody has something you can learn from.
Absolutely.
Them. Like, yeah. I haven't met a single human on earth who I haven't learned something from. And so if you approach everything from the perspective of someone has something to teach you, mm-hmm. you just get to be a better person. You get to have better perspective. And frankly, I think it fulfills both you and the person you're listening to.
Yeah. Some of the leaders I've been around a lot of different leaders, really good ones and some not so quite so good. But sometimes you get them where they're just, you know, they're always talking. And when they finish, they just leave. The ones that really engage, like I'm sure you do, you engage talking and get that feedback. And you talked about that already. I think that's so important. And again, I can think of a lot of people that I'm not going to mention right now that need to do more of that about listening to our country or listen to the people around them all the time there. So,
well, and to your point, once you listen, you have to live it. You have to take action.
Yeah.
You can't just listen for listen's sake. You have to say, look, we're doing this work. For us as the foundation, we have this thing called the Senior Council, where we have both high school seniors and older adults, including veterans, who serve as an advisory board for us. And so they tell us, this is what we're hearing in our communities, and this is what we're seeing. And we have to listen to that. So when we make grants and we give money out to nonprofits, we're trying to get at the issues that they tell us day in, day out are important in their communities.
Yeah.
So you have to do both things. You got to listen and then actually take it in and do something with it.
Yeah. The other thing I think is really important too is the follow-up. Follow-up. Because I used to say, you know, hey, would you help me fix this? I say, yeah, I'll take care of it. But I have to go back and tell them exactly what I did or
exactly.
why I couldn't do it. Sometimes you can't accomplish the mission. You got to, you know, and then again, they come back and say, yeah, at least he tried or at least she tried to accomplish the mission there. So.
Yeah, we have for our grants, we do an open application process for our grants, which anybody can find on humanafoundation.org. And we have a rule that everyone who applies gets a response. And it's really, really important to me. We can't do it perfectly because we're not perfect humans, but we try to make sure if it's a yes, we keep talking to you. If it doesn't fit, we tell you it didn't fit and here's the reason why. Because I think people deserve the respect of actually you coming back and being honest and authentic about what worked and what didn't, what you tried to do and what you didn't, to your point. Yeah. We take that really seriously. It's an integrity and a respect thing.
Yeah, it's one last thing, and I'll get off this because it's important to me. It's like when I call somebody on the telephone and I get this push one to talk to, and then you get a voicemail. It just drives me crazy. I want to talk to somebody. I want to, you know, get a response so I can try to figure it out. Especially if, I just say this, I'm a little bit older and, you know, I like talking to people, not necessarily to a machine. It just drives me bonkers, I guess.
Yeah, I think we all need people, right?
the founder of Humana, David Jones Sr., I'm going to read this quote, said that it's easy to give money away, but it's difficult to do so thoughtfully. How did you decide who gets the funding from the Humana Foundation?
Yeah, well, so the first thing is, I talked about our open application process, and the reason is because I don't want anybody to feel like they have to know Tiffany Benjamin or they have to have worked with Humana to have a good idea and for us to be willing to support it. So what we really do is we go back to that model of listening to community. We picked our focus areas. We say, are these real needs for people? And then we follow good ideas. And then we pick the organizations we think are really serious about doing the work. And really willing to share. So one of the things that I think is important to us is that we fund organizations that care about not just what they're doing, but what happens in community. And so if they find a good solution, they're willing to share it with others. They're willing to support others with it. So for us, that does mean that what we say is like, we need you to be able to measure the impact. We need you to be able to tell stories about the impact. We need you to be willing to partner with other people if the ideas are working. And we need you to make sure that whatever you're doing is really about centering it in community and people, and you're willing to be adaptable based on what the community tells you are its actual needs.
Yeah, it sounds to me, you did a lot of research. If somebody applied for it, you're just not going to take. I just say some people you take the word for it, but others you need to make sure that you do a lot of research and find out exactly what they're doing. And the way to do that is talk to people that's utilized at whatever that is, and that's certainly important. I think a lot of people skip that one step. Sometimes they just take them at their word. I want to take you at your word, but I also want to make sure that you're the right fit for us to help you out. That's for sure.
Exactly. And there are a lot of good ideas. You know, we say no to a lot of things that it hurts my heart to say no to.
Yeah.
Because there's just, we have finite resources and there are a lot of great ideas out there. So we're trying to pick the ones that fit us the best. And so even when we decline something, it's not because we think it's a bad idea. It just doesn't fit us right now, or it's not quite where we need to be in terms of what our focus areas are. And so for us, we're really trying to find things that fit. We're not necessarily saying you're good or bad, or the work you're doing isn't valuable. We see a lot of valuable stuff that I have to say no to. And frankly, it keeps me up at night if I'm being honest about it, but it's part of the job.
Do you tell them how to correct whatever the deficiency is, if you can, and then say, come back at a later date and reapply?
Yeah, we always encourage people to reapply unless it's something that's totally out of our realm. So I the example I always use is, like, if you manufacture clown noses and you're asking me to fund your clown nose company, that's probably a no forever. And we try to be honest with people when you're completely out. But for anything else, we say, here are the reasons it didn't fit. And if people come back to us and ask for more advice and counsel, we always try to make the time for that.
Yeah, that's why. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tiffany.
No, that's all I was going to say.
Well, I was going to say, that's why I didn't wear my clown nose the day. I didn't want to have it.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not funding that.
Hey, Tiffany, I want to talk about Face to Fight and how the Amana Foundation got involved and some of the things you all are doing to support this initiative. But first, there's always a but first with everything. We're going to take another short break. So don't go anywhere. I'm going to be right back. Now, here's a word from two more of the organizations that make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Tiffany Benjamin, Chief Executive Officer of the Humana Foundation. Remember, this is show. It's not my show. It's your show. Tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org, and I'll actually reach back out to you. So let me call you. Tiffany, tell us about the Face to Fight Humana involvement with it.
Yeah, so we were thrilled to be one of the founding partners, along with USAA, USAA Foundation, and Reach Resilience, of the Face the Fight initiative. And we made a $6 million commitment to invest in this initiative. And frankly, one of the most important parts of that for us was addressing stigma around mental health, realizing that we have to have a conversation around suicide prevention. And we wanted to make sure that we were continuing to tell stories about people who were struggling, and understanding that people can have different lived experiences. So women veterans might have different experiences, and that people might need services and support that fit their specific lived experience. So for example, Spanish language services. And so we were really thrilled to support this initiative overall, but also to say, let's make sure that whatever we're doing supports different communities within our veteran suicide initiatives. So we're thrilled to be part of this movement of people really saying, veteran suicide rates are too high and it's 100% preventable.
Yeah. You know, I've talked a lot about this, I guess. I don't know if you know, I spent about 36 years in the service. And I tell people this all the time. For 36 years, you asked me to do what? Is take another human life. That's the bottom line, is you asked me to kill people for this country. And that's what you paid me for. And it's hard when, you know, 90% of the people just come in 3-4 years and get out, and only 10%, I think, stay probably over 20 years. But it's really a struggle to go back into society and to your tribe or to your community and fit back egg again, because there's a lot of, I don't know, it's a struggle to fit in, because you start talking to people about, you know, what's going on with you, what's going on with your life, and people feel uncomfortable about talking about war, about the things that I had to live through as an adult. And it really sort of, I don't know, we would talk about isolation. It sort of isolates you a little bit, where you just don't want to say anything. And then I think you go home and just sit on the couch and you're depressed. And then that, you know, causes other things to happen to you. And it's just really a struggle. And I don't know what the solution is for that. I think to continue to talk and tell people about what your struggles are, but it's something that every service member goes through, and it's just tough. I wish there was a better way to figure this out anyway.
Well, and I think, I mean, you talked about one of the easiest ways to help, which is just to ask people, are they okay, and mean it, right? And give people the space to share their stories. And if you have a story, share it. Because the more people who share, the more normalized we make it for people to say, I experienced trauma and it's impacting me. And the more normal we make it for families to have those conversations, the easier it is for people to be able to be willing to get help, right? There's all sorts of data that shows that you can intervene and just sit down with someone and listen to them. And that can help people address trauma and address loss and address pain. And I think we touched on this before a little bit, but there is a transition out of the military where there's a loss of a certain form of identity. And so if we don't keep talking about that, then we never really address it. I think sometimes we hold all of these feelings, and in particular, when you're in a military community, which can be small and insular, and then you go out into a different community, which is a different world, people may not know your experience. And so they may not even know how to approach you. But what everybody can do is ask, are you okay? Listen, genuinely care, and not be judgmental, right? Yeah. That's something everybody anywhere can do.
I think the big one is don't be judgmental. I think you can't.
Exactly.
Just because I'm struggling, don't fault me at that. I think you've already answered what I'm asking. What is your organization doing to support this initiative? I think you went through a lot of the stuff that you're currently doing. Anything else you want to throw in there? Any additional things?
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing is we are really trying hard to talk a lot about the fact that this is 100% preventable, right? We know what interventions work for people in terms of suicide prevention. We know that mental health services are supportive. We know that asking, are you okay, and providing resources to families and tools to people who interact with people who are struggling and normalizing those struggles help. And so what we're really trying to do is get the message out, and also to help make services more available for anyone anywhere who needs it, and services that fit the needs of people, because different people have different needs.
Yeah. How do you get the message out? I mean, I know we're doing Face to Fight and all the rest of it, but is there something additional you do there?
Yeah, we do a lot of talking, right? I talked about listening earlier.
Yeah.
I know. We do a lot of listening and we do a lot of talking. So for us, you know, we have associates at Humana, and we've talked to the Humana associates about this work. We're putting it out on our social media. We're going about speaking about it. And we're also offering spaces for veterans to share their stories, right? That's been really, really important, because I can talk to you about stigma, but allowing people space to share their stories really is what allows other people space to share their stories. And so that's one of the other ways we're really trying to be thoughtful about it.
Yeah, I'm glad you said about social media, because I think it's a really big one. There's a lot of people on social media, but older adults aren't necessarily on social media. The younger adults, you know, people who are serving now, probably younger. Well, I'm on social media, but I'm probably a little bit weird, maybe. But But I think social media is a good way to connect with a lot of people. And I think we need to keep pumping that information out there, telling them what to do, how to work through those issues. And I think more people need to do that too. The other thing is sharing your story, telling people exactly what you went through, and again, listening to what they're saying. And so you can, you know, understand just a little bit more.
Well, and I think to your point, we're also out at the VFW convention, right, sharing that story too, because we want to make sure we're hitting a lot of different populations. And we just want to create space for people, right, to say it's okay. I think one of the bright sides of COVID, if there are bright sides, is that I think a lot of us acknowledge that we had to take better care of our mental health. And so this is a conversation that's already sort of bubbling up. And so now we just want to say to folks in the military and veterans, you are part of our greater community. It's okay to talk about your mental health. It's okay. Nobody is perfect and everybody is struggling in one way or another. And having these conversations can make it better.
Yeah, I told you before, just on the prep call, that I was overran, 20 wounded and 7 killed. And so I've suffered some form of post-traumatic stress for, geez, a long time, over 50 years, probably closer to 60, getting here pretty quick. But I remember one time I went to a doctor and was in a veterans clinic. And I went to this doctor and I said, yeah, I need to talk to somebody because I'm not sure what the issue was. But first I had an appointment at 11 o'clock. And they come out and said, well, she's too busy. She can't talk to you till 2 o'clock. So I came back at 2 o'clock and she didn't talk to me till 4 o'clock. And when I got in there at 4 o'clock, I told her what the issue was. And she says, well, I don't think I can help you. And I thought to myself, why did I even waste my time? And so she isolated me to really say, well, I'm not going back to this place again. That's for doggone sure. And I think that's a real big struggle. We also talk about, or you have talked a lot about education. And I'll probably bring it up again in a minute because I think it's really important. We wait till the last minute to educate people. You know, it's like somebody that's an alcoholic or a drug, whatever. Why don't we start earlier in your life about educating people about things like in the military? I've talked to military about this. I'm sure they don't listen to it, but I've said it a few times. Why don't we put mental illness into our educational system? Start talking to young people about how you're going to react or what's going to happen to you when you go to war and you come back and maybe how you'll feel. So at least you understand a little bit about what you're probably going to go through. But I tell you, the things that occurred to me years ago, I still think about those things today. And I think the older I get, the worse it is in some cases.
Yeah, you know, I think you touched on something that is really important, which is that we have all of these solutions and willingness to talk about our physical health, right? And our mental health is just as important as our physical health. And so we have to prioritize them the same. Like if you hurt your back, nobody is going to shame you for going to get help, right? Everybody's going to say, you need to go address that. That's really, really important. And we need to talk about your mental health in the same way, because it's another part of your body. Your brain is a part of your body. And so we have to appreciate that health is health, whether we're talking about physical or mental health. And we have to have those conversations throughout people's lives to say, if you're going to treat your body well, that means also taking care of your mind. And if you have something that is a challenge for your body, you would go seek help. So if you're having a challenge for your mind, which is part of your body, go seek help. It's just normal upkeep, right? It's not something unique or special. And that's why the conversation around stigma really matters a lot. We have to keep talking to people about how this is just health. You know, like your mental health is just health.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always thought they ought to put something on more information like this on national television. You know, just some, I don't know, maybe you have a good show and then maybe have like a 30-second clip or something like that. Yeah. But we just don't seem like we talk about it enough, and you know, unfortunately, again, when you look at suicide, I looked at something the other day, and I was trying to figure out how many suicides are there a day in this country. It's 132, I think the number was, a day. And the military has about 17 in the veterans community, and that's just way too many. And we just also, I know we're not ignoring it, but we just need to do more. And the only way to do more is for all of us to reach out and start doing something, instead of talking about it. Let's you know, make things happen a little bit more.
I think you're right. You know, one of the cool things about Face the Fight is that it's a coalition, right? It's got a lot of people talking. I think we're up to almost 140 coalition members at this point. And the reason that's important for us to have nonprofits and companies and you know, the VA and other people talking about this, because it's not something that we're going to improve just one of us on the side on our own. And so what I love about Face the Fight is it's a bunch of people coming together to say, this is a problem, it's 100% preventable, and we're all going to work together to solve it. I don't think very many things get solved in a vacuum. I think most things get solved when we can come together and decide, hey, we have a mission, let's work towards this mission. And Face the Fight is a perfect example of something where you see this huge group of people just coming together to say, we're going to do something. And that's why I have so much confidence in its success, because it's not one group, it's everybody. And we're just trying to make a movement even bigger to make sure that people get that veteran suicide rates are too high and we can do something about it. And it's not that hard. We just have to invest in people, their stories, and care about them.
Yeah, no, you're so true. Tiffany, I don't know if you know this or not, but our foundation, the American Freedom Foundation, is also a Face the Fight coalition partner.
Excellent. And
I think it's great too. And, you know, we really see a lot of value in the resources of all the partners together. And we're making a difference in reducing the number of veteran suicides. Is there any more that you'd like to add about why that's so important? I know you talked a lot about it. Is there anything else we need to add to that? I mean, we talked about the 138 coalition partners and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's just coming together. Like, I really keep emphasizing it because I think it's really important. Face the Fight is an opportunity for people to share their stories. It's an opportunity for companies to talk to their employees about this difficult conversation, because frankly, veterans are everywhere, right? People leave the military and they go into other places to work. And so this gives people the tools to talk to their employees. It gives people the tools to talk to their family members. It gives military families who have a very particular lived experience the tools to be able to transition out of that military life into the broader society. And I think it's really powerful that this is an initiative that allows anyone who comes in contact with someone in the military or a veteran the tools and resources to be successful and helping to care and listen and prevent suicide.
What, Tiffany, what can people watching this episode do to help Face the Fight to join this initiative? What can they do?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. I'll put on my sales voice, which is...
All right, I'm ready for that.
Woohoo! Go to wefacethefight.org. It's a great website. It's got lots of tools and resources, lots of information. You can learn more about the coalition partners. You can learn more about organizations that are providing services to veterans that focus on suicide prevention or focus on mental health treatment. So it's got a lot of great resources. And then the reality is the best thing you can do is ask somebody how they're doing and mean it and genuinely mean it. And if someone says, great, say, oh, what's great? Spend time and care and don't flinch or run from difficult conversations, and know that you are enough. Your care is enough. Your time and your willingness to listen is enough for people to feel valued and to feel better. And maybe for some people, that conversation is enough for them to seek help.
Yeah. I you know, Sam, I can see why you're where you are today because you're the right person. I can tell that you care by your voice and the things you're talking about and your enthusiasm and stuff. So from this old soldier now, thank you for what you're doing. You're making a difference.
Well, thank you. And thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for your service. I'm lucky that I get to sit here with you and laugh with you and talk with you.
Well, the funny thing is, if I talk too much, I start crying a little bit. I tear up about stuff because I get pretty emotional about this. Yeah, you know, first of all, let me say this has been a great discussion. I'm so glad that you joined us today. Geez, I almost think you ought to come back. We have another discussion a later date, maybe. But any final thoughts or anything you want to share with the audience? Maybe something we missed?
No, but I will plug wefacethefight.org again. Please check out the website. It really has great information. And there are also stories that veterans are sharing themselves about their struggles. you're not alone. It's great to not be alone. So please seek help, have open conversations, understand that this is something that we all can do something to prevent.
Yeah. You're the best. Hey, again, Tiffany, my hands, I should say I take my hat off and I'm bald, but thank you so much for coming on the show. You've really motivated my day, because I love the fact that there's people out you wanting to make a difference for not just our veteran community, really for everybody. So God bless you and thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks to Tiffany Benjamin for being with us today. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been watching or you've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us today. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say I hope it's a good review. I'm sure it's going to be a good review. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And we just added a new job board in partnership with Recruit Military, where you can search for a job that's the perfect fit for you. Check out this video on our website to learn how to fine-tune your search. You can also create your own individual profile. Scan the QR code on the screen or the QR code on the website to create your profile. All information collected is confidential and won't be shared with anyone. Remember, we want to assist you any way we can. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, or Rumble. And if you enjoyed what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again for Tiffany joining us today. And, you know, approximately 17 veterans take their own life a day. And I look back all the time and think about, you know, what could I do to make a difference? You know, all of us have had friends that have taken their own life. People that we serve, well, they're not as 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, or 30 years that are friends that you care about and you love. And it just breaks your heart to think that you wasn't there for them, that you need to do all you can to help them, whether or not it's a phone call or a message or a text or whatever. You know, we're all in this together. We all, and let's be honest, we all love each other, only in different ways, of course. But we all need to make sure that we're doing all we can to help our veterans and families. Again, thanks for watching, and thanks to New Mind students, and of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.